Lord, as we turn to you to open your word, we just are excited to know that you are God and that you are good. And you know us perfectly and thoroughly, and you love us anyway. You invite us to be in your family. You've asked us to be perfect and then given us the ability to continually improve. And as we mess up, as we fall short, you cover us with your righteousness, Jesus. We're so grateful that you're such a good parent, such a loving father that provides everything we could possibly want or need. Help us to never lose sight of what an awesome opportunity it is to be part of the family of God, the body of believers, the building that is the church. We thank you so much, Jesus. Amen. We are in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and most of the time when I'm following along with other pastors, they end up breaking this down into 3 or 4 weeks, and I'm going to do it in 1 week. Part of why we only sang 2 songs. Paul has been working with this church in Corinth about a lot of issues that they've asked about and some of the things that they needed correction in. And he hasn't gotten away from that. As he's moving towards these next 3 chapters, 12, 13, 14, it's a recognition that they're all gifted. God has gifted every single one of them with spiritual gifts. And he's provided enough spiritual gifts for the entire body of believers there in Corinth that everything that needs done will get done. And yet they have some shortcomings in this area as well. And so some of the best training and teaching that we get in Scripture about spiritual gifts is right here. Now, you will find teaching on spiritual gifts in Romans, in Ephesians, in Peter's epistles, and there are a number of other spiritual gifts. If you're looking for a comprehensive list, I don't believe you're ever going to find it. Even if you combined all of the various lists of spiritual gifts in Scripture, I don't believe personally that includes every single spiritual gift that God gives. God has gifted each of us with at least one, and possibly, probably, most likely more than one for each individual believer. There's a lot of misunderstanding on spiritual gifts. Some people look at it and say, you know, all of the sign gifts have ceased. Others say that they're prevalent, and not only prevalent but necessary to indicate that you're saved. And there's a lot of push and pull, and this is an area where theologians don't always agree. And the good news is theologians aren't the final word. The Word of God is the final word. Go to the Word. Let Holy Spirit, who inspired and provided this word to each one of the authors, and then that advocate also brings to us interpretation as we read. So if between you and God you have a clear understanding of how you fit in with this list of gifts, if there's some you're thinking, wow, that none of those fit me, I guarantee you God's given you some other spiritual gift if you're a follower of Jesus. And being baptized in the Spirit is another way of saying being saved, because anyone that is a believer according to Scripture is baptized into the Spirit. So as we move forward, let's have some fun with this and recognize that my word is not going to be the final word. God's word is the final word. If I mess up, forgive me. If I misinterpret, take me aside, help me. I'm always open to correction and teaching from Scripture. Now, if it's just your opinion you want to come at me with and correct me because you think God's word isn't quite right, or the way I said it wasn't right and you've got a better interpretation but you don't have anything to back it up, we're probably not going to have a very long conversation. I'm not trying to be rude, but I know that I've had people... I've got to be careful how I say all of this. We had a friend named Jim that was in a wheelchair. And there were people that would come to the church that claimed to have the gift of healing. And they would work on healing people that had maybe one leg was a quarter inch shorter than the other leg, and they could do these miraculous things where then the legs were the same length and they could get rid of their orthotics. And there were a number of things that they could do with this gift of healing, but none of them ever went back to Jim in this wheelchair and said, stand up and walk. And I know Jim would have loved to walk. He was a happy Christian, even in the wheelchair. He was okay. But I know he would have loved to walk. He knew he would get to walk with his new body when he was in heaven. That wasn't a concern. But then there were other people that would go to Jim and tell him, you know, that they had the gift of healing and they hadn't demonstrated it in any way, shape, or form. And they'd go to Jim and they'd pray for him and then he didn't get up and walk. And so they'd tell him, well, you're not walking because you don't have enough faith. It's your faith that's keeping you in that chair, your lack of faith. And it's like, I know Jim had more faith than a lot of people that were running and standing and bouncing and jumping. Jim was a man of faith in a chair. He could not walk. But he could certainly shine the love of Jesus into people's lives. And his gifting wasn't about, you know, can he do a triathlon? His gifting was he loved Jesus, he loved people, and he knew how to connect the two. And so as I look at concept of spiritual gifts, as we get into various different ones here, not everybody understands what their gift is. Some people get it wrong. Not everybody understands that they have gifts. Some people just don't feel gifted in any way, and they feel like, you know, maybe God just left me out when he was passing the gifts out. That we don't need to worry about any of that stuff. Let's move forward in Scripture. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, we're starting on page 1838, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. Some other translations, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unaware. He wants them to understand and know about spiritual gifts. And so he's about to start talking about all these concepts of spiritual gifts. Now chapter 12 covers it in one way. Chapter 13 brings it to really, I think, what the meat of it, of the whole concept is. And then chapter 14 brings some more correction. So he's kind of made a sandwich here with the middle filling just being rich and precious and beautiful. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is considered the love chapter, and it really kind of, everything that Paul's been talking about all the way through this epistle is drawing people to love. If you don't love, you're not getting it. You're wasting your time. You're just not understanding the true nature of Christianity, of being a disciple, follower of Jesus Christ. Concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. And he's in writing to a church here that many of them had come out of a life of idolatry. Now, we kind of think in America we don't have to worry about that, but you know what? Anything that you place above God is an idol. If you have a choice and you make a choice that doesn't include God, we can be idolatrous too. And it can go in all kinds of different directions. One of my little buddies when I was teaching fourth grade came to me after a conversation about God's gifts and focus and understanding how to put him first. He said, Mr. Bittner, I've been thinking about something all day long, and it has nothing to do with the Bible lesson that we had this morning, but it has everything to do with the Bible lesson we had this morning. This was a wise fourth grader. He said, my mom had promised me that if I could make it through the day without any trouble, she was going to take me to my favorite card shop, and I was going to get to pick out my favorite football player and get a card. And he says, that's all I've been thinking about all day. And I've been doing everything I can to just push down any possible thing that would cause me to get in trouble so that when my mom comes, I can go and get this card. And he says, now when she comes, I'm going to have to tell her that I did something wrong, that I was being idolatrous towards this concept of hero worship. He had somebody in mind. He wanted to go get the card, and he had placed that above his walk with Jesus. This fourth grader, I admire. And I still think of some of the lessons I got from the mouths of babes. As we go through life, sometimes we think we're teaching them something, and really, they're teaching us. And that was one of those cases. So, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. Of course, you know, there's a lot of Old Testament, New Testament scripture talking about, hey, these idols are dumb. They can't even talk. They can't do anything. Why would you follow them? The same wood that you get to carve this idol out of, you chop it up and you make a fire and you bake your bread. It's like this idol is nothing. And I think as we go through life, a lot of the things that we place heavy importance on, we realize later that that wasn't important. That was nothing. And as we move more towards Jesus, everything else falls away. That would include 401ks and politics and whatever else that people consume their days with and their time. And I'm as guilty of that as anyone. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And he's explaining to him, you know, I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. The first thing is there's a Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, as he guides and directs you, as Holy Spirit's directing you, you're not going to be able to say certain things, and you will be able to say other things. And as he empowers you to speak the truth, Jesus is Lord. That's a powerful statement. It was an especially powerful statement in the society where Paul was living, and where this time period where people were saying, you know, and even Paul prior to his conversion was saying that Jesus was a heretic and Jesus was a false teacher and Jesus, you know, Jesus is accursed, and because he died on a cross he's accursed, and they come up with all of these things. Obviously he couldn't be Lord or God, because only the worst of the worst get put on crosses as a penalty for death. And so, you know, when you have Holy Spirit, you recognize, no, that wasn't a curse. That was his love. He laid his life down so that I wouldn't have to. And you start recognizing, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the director, the king of my life, the king of all things, king of all kings, Lord of all lords. Now, there are varieties of gifts. So he's, okay, first there's a Holy Spirit, and if you want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, don't forget Holy Spirit. It's like this isn't a test where you get to learn all of the gifts and then take a test and decide which one you're most prone to, like an occupational test that a school counselor might give kids. This is not the same thing. This is, listen to the Spirit. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that's bringing it back again, the Spirit. If we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, don't forget the Spirit. Now, what is the Spirit? Capital S, Spirit. It's the manifestation that we have of God. The Spirit comes to dwell in us and among us. The Spirit is our advocate. He goes before the Father, before the throne, and says, these little ones, they're mine. They're covered in the righteousness. They have the righteous robes of Jesus on them. And they can't be accused by the accuser, because whatever accusations are there, that's been taken care of. It's done. Clean slate. So that's the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, we live by the Spirit. Of course, as you look through all the Scripture, it talks about, you know, when you're in the Spirit, you're not walking in the flesh. That's the combination. You're walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. If we've put off the old, we put on the new, constantly recognizing leading of the Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. I think, again, as Paul's writing to this particular church, remember they were arguing about, you know, who was the better pastor. Was it Apollos or Peter or Paul or you know, they're going on and on having their little factions. And it's like, you know, there's a variety of ministries. And the same Lord. There's only one Lord. Jesus is Lord. He has already mentioned that. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. You know, you can have the same ministry with 10 people and they're all going to receive it differently. But your responsibility is to walk in the Spirit, to follow the Spirit's leading, and then it's out of your hands. It moves into a different realm. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I see this as central. Oftentimes, people seek certain gifts so that they can glorify themselves, edify themselves, build themselves up. It's never what it's about. If somebody has the gift of teaching or the gift of whatever else, prophecy, and they're coming along and they're thinking that that's going to shine a light on them, they got the gift wrong. It's about Holy Spirit. It's about manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's so that the whole body of Christ can grow and learn and become one as we walk and talk and live in the Spirit together. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. You can read books about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Again, a lot of those books are written with man's understanding. So let's get back to the Spirit. You know, that if you feel like there's wisdom, a word of wisdom, it's coming through the Spirit. I've been accused of having words of wisdom at times, and oftentimes it's something I didn't even know that I had said. People have heard something, like that young man that I mentioned in the fourth grade that, you know, we had a fun Bible study that morning, but by the end of the day, Holy Spirit had guided and directed him to the point where whatever was said became a word of wisdom for him. And it's generally not going to be head knowledge, but oftentimes if we don't have the head knowledge, we're not going to get the wisdom, we're not going to get the heart knowledge. So there has to be somebody that knows how to rightly divide the word of truth, someone that can look at all of Scripture and ascertain what, you know, how does this fit with that, and how does everything work together? All things work together for the good of those who are loved by God. And so we look here and we recognize, again, there might be somebody that has a word of wisdom. Well, that's coming through the Spirit. Another word of knowledge coming through the Spirit. Everything's according to the Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now here's where, if there's any gift that every single individual Christian has to have, it's faith. But there's, I think, measures of faith, and even Paul talks about, you know, according to the measure of faith God has given you. We recognize that faith is a gift from God. Some people have the faith to walk out on their own and do marvelous, magnificent things. Some people have the faith to join a body of believers and do things as part of a group, and they have that measure of faith. There's lots of different measures of faith. I believe that there's time periods in each of our lives where our faith is stirred up and we're able to move beyond what we even realize is possible. And when we read scriptures like that God can do anything beyond our imagination, and I know that God has provided each of us with a unique and beautiful imagination, we can imagine all sorts of things. And His promise is, I can do better than that. Whatever you can imagine, whatever you can come up with, you think that you can come up with this really huge big plan, and God's like, yeah, I can do better than that. Just on a little minuscule scale, Kathy and I, in talking a month or two ago, whenever it was, when we mentioned something about a possible yard sale for the furnace fund, and it's like, yeah, let's do a yard sale, you know, and some of it is, okay, we got stuff that we need to get rid of, and we'd love to just give it to the kingdom. So that's part of it. And then I found out that there's people through the whole town, people that don't even know Jesus, wanted to give stuff to the kingdom, people that we would have never expected. You know, when people drive by and they say, hey, are you still taking stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, the day was still young, so yeah, we were still taking stuff, and they were dropping stuff off. And people that would never claim that they know Jesus were providing for the comfort of the people of God in the house of God. So, you know, it starts to blow my mind a little bit how God is so much bigger than anything we came up with. I was thinking, you know, if we cleared a few $100s, that would be a good deal. and then a couple thousand come in. And you know, God is bigger and better, and that may not be done because I'm still hearing about, you know, got a knock on the door yesterday, somebody wanted something that was already gone, but another person texted Kathy and would like to buy something, and it happens to still be available. So, you know, there still be more, possibly could be more coming in, and it's above and beyond what we could ask or think. It's more than we can imagine. God is good. So when we think about this gift of faith that God this gives us, this measure of faith, do you know that as you see God providing, your faith is going to be built upon? It's like any good athlete, if they're able to successfully do a move, you know, like in soccer, if you're going to be able to steal the ball, or you're going to be able to trap the ball as you're stealing it from somebody, or maybe even better, you're able to pass it to one of your team members, and then you're able to get in a position where they can pass it back to you, and now you've got this little give and go thing going, and you've got the other team on the back of their heels. They don't know what to do, and they don't know what's coming next, and you're always thinking three or four steps ahead of them, and you know, as that's successful, it builds on your confidence, and it builds on your faith that you can continue to do that. And if you recognize that this is part of how God grows us up in life, everything that we're doing, it's like, yeah, I didn't think I could ever do that, but then it happened and it was done, and God provided. Honestly, everybody that was working with the yard sale this week, they worked hard. And I think most of us were thinking, okay, dreading the end of this thing, because it's like, okay, our shoulders are going to be tired, and our and then we're going to just have to move everything and put it somewhere, and then a day or two later we'll have to move it again, and there's going to be all of these steps to get it cleaned up. And you look around the little auditorium here, and it's all cleaned up because Dan and Abe had a heart for God, and they had trucks that had space, and I think some of that got filled even more than was possible in some ways. It's like, okay, couldn't possibly get another bag or box in there, but it's like, okay, here goes three more boxes or bags out the door, and they're going somewhere, and okay, someone's really good with Tetris, or God's providing space as things are being put into these two trucks, and John and Sharon come in today, and they recognize everything's gone. And we were all thinking that, you know, a day or two ago, we were thinking for sure it's going to be a few days cleanup. And it's done. And that's because God is bigger than all of this, and He places the right people in the right place. And it's like this whole thing, this concept of, to somebody, to one this was given, and to another this was given, and to another this was given. And our gifts and our abilities, if we listen to God and we're able to use them properly, all of His work gets accomplished. We have 50 NASB Bibles, the super giant print. We don't have 50 people in the pews right now. And I think God is probably placing on each one of your hearts somebody that you'd like to bring into the fold, people that you would want to join this family. And I'm loving watching that heart, that feeling, as people go out into the community. They're loving the community. We don't love them so we can manipulate them into the body of Christ. That's never a good thing. We love them because God loves them. We love them with His love. And Holy Spirit gives us the ability to maybe, through one of our conversations, there might sneak out a little word of knowledge or word of wisdom. And if you have faith, of course, you know, God's going to build that faith as you see the words that I said, the conversation we had actually helped draw them closer to being willing to follow after the Lord. It could take years and years. It could take 2 minutes. But God is the one that brings the increase. So I have faith that He will. I just don't know when. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Again, I've seen people that you know, there's gifts of healing. People pray and then they're healed. And I also believe that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. And so when I go to a doctor and the doctor recognizes that you've got a little basal cell carcinoma and that's got to be taken care of, and God has gifted somebody to diagnose that, and God has gifted someone else to cut it off or to find a way to remove it. And God has gifted scientists in some really evil ways, like let's take a cream and burn your face for a week or a month, and then it'll all be okay. And you know what? Feels better, doesn't it, John? And it's like we've got to recognize that God sometimes heals through the scientists that he's trained, and just like people that didn't know Jesus yet came and brought stuff to the yard sale, people that don't know Jesus yet can know what it takes to bring healing, and that's part of the gift of healing. I do believe that many doctors are gifted with that Holy Spirit gift of healing, whether they recognize it or not. And I do know some doctors that do recognize it. And we've got a friend on Anderson Island that does twists and manipulation in different ways to bring people into alignment so that they don't have pain. And he's been a successful Army doctor and now private practice. And, you know, God gives him, he recognizes that's Holy Spirit that's given him the ability to bring healing with touch. To another, the effecting of miracles or the working of wonders. To another, prophecy. And prophecy is the proclaiming of truth. This wouldn't be the prophecy like oftentimes we think of, where somebody is trying to predict the future and that sort of thing. That this particular Greek word is got more to do with the proclamation of truth, being prophetic. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits, recognizing that you know, some of this advice we're getting from other people, it's not from Holy Spirit, it's from a different spirit. It's from a spirit that shouldn't be listened to. The discerning spirits, distinguishing spirits is an important thing. Recognizing that Holy Spirit's put a check in your heart as this person's speaking to you about, it's like, okay, that doesn't feel right, that's not quite right. Bring it back to God. Recognize that it is Holy Spirit that's going to guide us and direct us and lead us. To another, various kinds of tongues. In Scripture, when tongues are mentioned, for the most part, like the first time it's mentioned, it's like, okay, there's the disciples, they've been waiting in the upper room, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes down like tongues of fire and touches them, and they go out into the streets, and there's thousands of people in the streets, and they start preaching to them. And these people are coming from at least 20 different nations, and speaking a lot of different dialects and different languages. And these unlearned disciples were not all linguists, where they didn't know every single language. They're out there speaking and everyone's understanding them. And thousands of people come to Jesus that day. And then you'll find the same thing as you look through Scripture, you know, when it's talking about you're speaking a language that you don't necessarily know, you haven't been trained in, but it's a real language. That could come in real handy if you're on the mission field and you recognize that there's a group of people that doesn't have a written language and nobody else has really known their language and nobody could have taught it to you. And yet, I've heard about missionaries that can communicate with lost tribes. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. You know, it's all fine and good if somebody can speak a language they don't understand, but if nobody understands it, it's not very useful. And so, to another, the interpretation of tongues, so that it can be taught and brought out. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Okay. That's where I get that every single believer, every follower of the way has some spiritual gift. The Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one. And it's individually. Now, why is he distributing gifts individually, why doesn't he just throw the gift on the whole body? God has designed his church in such a way that we're not all the same. We rely on one another. We work with one another. We need each other. And he provides within every little local body everything that's necessary, everything that's needed. He does this to individuals so that individuals need other individuals. And it's just as he wills. It's not like, you know, somebody that's in charge can pick out, okay, you three over here, you're going to get the gift of prophecy. You two, you go over here for faith. There's a couple back here, let's start naming names, and then we don't designate who the gifts go to. God does. Now, there are times in Scripture where somebody receives a gift from the laying on of hands from someone else. So God is giving the gift sometimes through another individual. But it's as he wills. We can't force his will. We can't, tell God, well, you're not quite getting this right. I think, the gift of evangelism would have been much better in the hands of so-and-so. So let's take it away from this person and give it to this other one. And, we would love to think that we know what's right. And here's another area that we just have to have faith and trust that as he gives individually to each, just as he wills, that the right gifts will end up in the right vessels. Just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, the church is described as the body of Christ. Each of us individually make up a part of the body of Christ. Our bodies each have cells, and there's all kinds of, parts, and he continues on. Paul pushes this a little further. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So that's where I get that anyone that is a follower of Christ that's been given spiritual gifts by God as God wills, they've been baptized into the body, into the fellowship of the beloved, the believers. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has arranged the parts, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But now there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I think sometimes we feel insignificant. And we recognize that there's these people out here and they're getting a lot of accolades and they're doing more than us and it's more visible, and we start thinking, okay, we're just not important. Parts of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Some of you military guys, when guys go out into the field, they're sent. What percentage of soldiers are sent and what percentage stays back for support? You guys were all grunts. You weren't the support that stayed back, so you don't know for sure the percentages. But when soldiers go out into the field to do the frontline works, what percentage actually does that? What percentage stays back and does something else? And even when you're in the field, there's different duties, different responsibilities. Somebody's going to be watching out for the media that thinks they have to see everything and be everywhere. There's all kinds of assigned tasks, and saying you're a soldier doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. We may in our minds think, okay, that means that they've got a gun and they're going around and they're shooting people. And yet that's probably a very small percentage of who's in the military. People enlist thinking they're going to go and they find out that they're on a ship typing on a typewriter day and night. And that's their job. And they're good at it. And that's how they support the troops in the field. And I'm thinking, you know, that support people are so much more important than they think they are. I know with Village Missions, we've got a district representative that supports us. We have office personnel that are taking care of payroll, and they're taking care of just a lot of details that I'm not even aware of and don't need to be aware of and don't want to be aware of. It's like they're there. They're covering and taking care of us. I also know that they're covering us in prayer. And anytime we need prayer, we can text, email, call the Village Missions office, and they'll cover us and they'll take care of us. And then I keep hearing about retired Village missionaries who are working harder than a lot of people I know that think they're still working. And I recognize that this group of people that think that they're, you know, no longer viable, they're not really out front doing stuff, they're very necessary. Real stuff wouldn't happen without the invisible people doing a lot of the work. Those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our less presentable parts become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable parts have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same care for one another. That is a consistent theme throughout all of Scripture. It's for the common good. We're all here for one another. We're iron sharpening iron. It's the body of Christ isn't this group of people that's really visible and doing all the work. And I've read a lot of books that talk about how, you know, most churches, you know, 10% or 20% of the believers are doing 80% of the work or more, and then the 80% is doing 20%. Well, it depends on how you define the work. A lot of times, people aren't being given credit or acknowledgement for the care and the work that they're doing. They're not out front, but they're still getting things done. Every community has those people. It's kind of quietly going about. Sometimes they're recognized. Most of the time, it just happens without anybody knowing. If one part of the body suffers, all parts suffer with it. If a part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. Now, if you don't understand that part about if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it, how many of you have had an ingrown toenail? Your whole body can recognize that this is affecting every part. If you get a bad case of texter's thumb, it makes it harder to sleep, and if you're not sleeping properly, then the rest of your body's not functioning properly. You know, little invisible pains can become strenuous and stressful for the entire body. And a body of Christ is no different. It doesn't say if one part of the body suffers, all the rest should feel their pain or should suffer with them. It says we suffer with it. Every part suffers. We might not even know. That's a good reason for us as a body of Christ to be involved with one another in each other's lives. Finding out where are they suffering? How can we help? And again, I look around. This is a body that's getting really, really good at that. Oftentimes, you guys know about each other's concerns long before I've heard about it. I know some pastors that are burdened by every little problem in their church or in their community. Everybody goes to the pastor thinking that's the person that's going to fix it. I think you guys all figured out. I've been here long enough. You know I can't fix anything. So you all start taking care of each other. And it's beautiful, and it's the way it should be, because, you know, God has recognized that suffering's not a good thing, except sometimes we do suffer. And there's also passages that talk about how we suffer with Christ, because he suffered for us. Suffering could be a whole other series of sermons. But as we look at that, you know, whether you're suffering or whether the part's being honored, if something's being honored, we all rejoice with it. Now, if you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're not part of the body of Christ that believes that the Spirit is in control and is leading and directing and guiding, sometimes when somebody else is honored, it hurts us and we start getting jealous and having this twinge of, why couldn't they have recognized what I did? What I did was important too. Why don't they see that? They should be bestowing honor on me. And it's like, okay, maybe you're turning yourself into an idol and thinking that you need the honor and glory. I think it's so good to see people that rejoice when others are honored. And that becomes, as we follow Holy Spirit, it becomes part of our nature, part of our understanding of how to function as a body. It's like, yay, they got some recognition. Praise God for that. This is wonderful. In fact, how else can we recognize them? And maybe we could make that contagious and start recognizing other people. And some of you are really good at that. I know one person in particular that probably has a house full of cards that for any occasion, any need, there's a card, and that card might become two cards, and that card might get signed by other people and delivered, and that sort of encouragement, that's a Holy Spirit gift. Not everybody has that. If God was trying to give me that gift, I've resisted it. I think part of it was, you know, growing up after Christmas or birthday, we'd had to sit down at the table and write out all these letters of what we were thankful for. And I saw it as a duty and a drudgery rather than a privilege to thank people that had thought of me. And sometimes I still revert back to that old, do I have to do this? Instead of, wow, I get to share and bless somebody for blessing me. This is a wonderful thing to pass that forward. So I admire people that have been given that gift from God, that Holy Spirit gift of encouragement. Now you are Christ's body. Here's Paul still talking to this group of people that he's admonished about a number of things. He's telling them, first of all, the only reason I'm talking about this, I don't want y'all to be ignorant. I don't want you to be stupid or dumb or unaware. You are Christ's body and individually parts of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles or wonder workers, then gifts of healing, helps administrations. That's another one that oftentimes gets overlooked. You know, who's keeping the books? Who's checking off the boxes and making sure that everything that the government wants done gets done, and everything that needs to be done to keep things afloat gets done. And you know, administrative gifts, okay? When everything was done and we took a sigh of relief last night, you know, the stuff had been sent out with our angel helpers to take to Goodwill, I started thinking, okay, what about the signs? And I didn't have to be an administrator at that point because somebody else was already out taking care of that. And somebody has been gifted with this gift that God has bestowed on them, and multiple gifts I see in many of you. And so things that need done get done. And various kinds of tongues. And there's where, you know, I have heard that sometimes people speak in tongues just between them and God, and that it's uplifting and it's edifying. And then I know that the example of, you know, Peter and the others preaching to the masses that spoke a lot of different languages and they understood in their own language that tongue gift, missionary tongue gifts, there's a lot of different various kinds of tongues. Now he's going to, by the time we get past the love chapter and get into chapter 14, he's going to talk about how some of the ways that this gift of tongues gets misused. And so whatever your understanding and belief is with all of these gifts, keep remembering it's all Holy Spirit. Just keep coming back to Holy Spirit. If someone says you have to have the gift of tongues, it's necessary, it's required, that's not what Scripture says. So, you know, just, I'm going to keep moving. He starts asking some questions, and the way that these are asked, there's an obvious answer. All are not apostles, are they? Pretty simple answer. What's the answer? No, they're not. All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles or workers of wonder, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? I notice in this list that Paul's giving, he doesn't say all don't exercise the gift of faith, do they? I think that faith is one of those that is probably more universal as a gift. And when Paul talks about the gift of faith, he talks about exercise the measure of faith God has given you. He doesn't say some of you don't have faith. Because again, in Hebrews, it's like without faith, it's impossible to please God. Anybody who comes to him first has to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so faith is important for all of us. But these other things, it's like, okay, these are necessary for the church. But they're not necessary for every individual in the church. I heard about a youth pastor that took a football and painted it white and then painted an eye, the little iris and everything on this, and put it in a baby blanket. Went to his youth group and he's holding this football eye in his blanket, and he's, there's a baby, and so he's talking, yeah, this is my baby, and they start looking at it, and it's just an eye. Well, that's kind of weird. So he starts talking to these teenage kids in his youth group, and he says, yeah, what would it be like if you went out on a date and your date was just an eye? You might get freaked out. It's like, why is she staring at me? All she's doing is just looking at me. She's not eating. Doesn't she care? I provided this meal for her. And he went through a whole deal. And it's like each has been given individually, according to God's will, what you need. But we're not all the same. And I think that that's part of why Paul goes, not everybody does this, do they? And he's making it obvious that really wouldn't be that great if everybody was exactly the same. Then he says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And yet, I am going to show you a far better way. He's still going to continue on with, I don't want you to be ignorant or unaware about the gifts, spiritual gifts. And next week we're going to jump into chapter 13 where he starts talking about love. That's that better way. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. Thank you for this beautiful passage and for the fact that the Corinthians, just like the rest of us, sometimes need reminders and helps to remember that this isn't just something that we can work out on our own, and it's not something from our head, but it's something we rely on you, Holy Spirit, to provide, to guide us with, to bring us to better understanding of how we fit together. Amen.